it's more the jet lag, really. I have no problem with jumping on a plane, and you know, in some ways it's quite nice within, you know, the age of technology. It's the only place in the world that you see I seem to be able to switch my phone off and not want to check it every 5 minutes. So it's actually quite nice, the traveling, the jumping on the planes, but it's just when you get off at the other end and the tired, you know, the tired feelings and your body's a little bit all over the place. And as I've got a little bit older, it's certainly taken a little bit more time for that to get out of my system. So yeah, that's the tough bit. But, you know, as long as I'm enjoying my squash, then you can always handle getting over the jet lag.
What would you say, I know you haven't had a lot of time to reflect on becoming the world number one, but are the biggest sacrifices that you've had to make? 32, you are married and you've got the luxury of having Danny on the road with you and in coaching and very much involved. But what does it take to get there?
Probably it just takes complete dedication and commitment every single day, really. You get out of bed in the morning, and even though you might not be on court training or down the gym till 10, you know, it's getting up, it's making sure your body's awake, it's making sure you're timing your breakfast, it's, you know, maybe doing a little bit of light stretching, getting the body moving, especially as I get a little bit older, and then making sure that, you know, you pre-making meals, and it's all you know, designed towards a nutritional plan that you've got in place, and then obviously the executing of the training and getting through some of those really, really tough sessions, and sometimes on your own as well. But obviously I'm playing an individual sport, and it is nice to have coach and my husband Danny around and people to train with, but quite often you are just doing those sessions on your own. It's me that has to get myself to the gym or to the squash court 2-3 times a day. And, you know, just, I guess, you know, early nights, missing things with friends and families, or turning up a little bit late, you know, as everyone's off work, you're just treating it like there isn't a Christmas and getting on with it. So it doesn't feel like a sacrifice on one hand, because I enjoy it, and the wins and getting to the world number one ranking make it 100% worth it. And I think if it is a sacrifice to you, then you're probably not going to achieve the successes that you want. So I enjoy it. I just get a little frustrated occasionally when I want to be out with my friends and eating mince pies and drinking mulled wine, and I can't, but I've got plenty of time to do that when I've finished.
Yeah, the mince pies will always be there in the coming years. But they're an understanding bunch, though. You've got a good support network around you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everybody seems to understand brilliantly, and then maybe it's just me feeling a little bit guilty sometimes that I can't do as much with everyone as I want to. I can't find the time to meet up with everybody over the Christmas period, and it's just busy, and it's just me trying to, sometimes I squeeze too much in and ask too much of myself, and then I have to step back and just say, this, you know, this isn't the life that's going to get me to be where I want to be in the squash world. So yeah, it's a balancing act, I guess, a lot of the time, and that's fine, and I've got a lot better with it over the years.
How long do you think, maybe it's an impossible question to put a timer on it, but how long do you think you can continue for, bearing in mind you just reached this peak? It's something you'll obviously want to hold on to.
Yeah, it is a really hard question to answer, because, like I said, a year's a long time in the life of, and if you'd have asked me in March when I'll finish playing, I probably would have said, well, I'll see how I go in September, and if I'm still not playing where I want to be, I'll probably leave it. But obviously then you play some of the best squash. I've played some of the best squash that I've ever played. I've got myself to the highest world ranking. I've won more tournaments this year than I have in any other season. And considering the start of the season I had, that's pretty unbelievable. So it's really difficult to put to answer when I'll hang my rackets up. I don't want to stop while I'm still improving, while I'm still playing, while I'm still winning major titles and competing to be the best in the world. So, you know, I think I've easily got another couple of years left in me, and then I guess it's another reassessment after that.
And just looking ahead, when can fans in Lancashire, supporters in the UK, look forward to watching you? You've got a few events coming up at home.
We have the British Nationals, which is mid-Feb. I think it starts on the 11th of February to the 14th of February for the women in Manchester at the National Centre at Sports City. And then we've got the British Open in Hull, which is mid to back end of March as well. So, yeah, it's always amazing to play at home, particularly at the British Open, when there's obviously foreign opponents there and the home crowd really get behind you. And it was one of the reasons that I beat Nicole David in the semi-final last year, was just down to the crowd. They were absolutely amazing and definitely lifted me from 2-0 down over the finish line to get the win. So that was massive. And And then, yeah, I always have Premier Squash League matches as well, which is always nice. I play for Duffield and we're in the Northern League, so we travel around. But all the dates are on my website if anyone wants to come and watch.
But when the great British tennis team won the Davis Cup, Andy Murray kind of came back and said, we now need to see this filtering down to grassroots people playing tennis. With you now becoming the world number one, do you think we need to see an increase in people playing squash, particularly in Lancashire, as we've got you here as a prize asset? You've said that before, that you're trying to get kids involved and coaching when you can, when you've got time. That might be something that you pick up more when you retire. But should there be now a knock-on effect, given your success?
You would hope so, but it's a little bit more dependent on the competition with other sports, obviously. And it's tough because I'm training out of David Lloyd, so obviously they have to be a member to come down and train. And you hope that you inspire people and that squash is getting more coverage on TV and more young people can see that and maybe fancy picking up a racket. But ultimately it's England Squash who have got that responsibility with participation. I think that it is growing, and after a dip of a couple of years ago, it is back up and getting to where we would like it to be. And hopefully I can get more involved with that when I finish playing and try and inspire a few more people to pick up a racket and have fun on a squash court. But while I'm still playing, my main job's obviously to focus on trying to do as well as I can myself, and then that transfers over into hopefully getting more people on court as well.
Ultimately, when people pick up a racket for the first time, they can do it at any age, they can do it with family, friends, partners. It is fun, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's a brilliant sport. And the biggest thing that I think is that it's a really, really hard sport to play. So it means that as long as you're, getting a good workout, you can really make sure that in half an hour, 40 minutes, you're getting a really, really hard workout that maybe in the gym would be a little bit boring, or, something that would be an effort to get to. But if you've got an opponent who's waiting for you at the club, then it's harder to get out of, and you've arranged it. And it's brilliant. You can run around. And I just, like, one of my main tips, I think, and one of the things that I struggle to watch people who are either just picked up the sport for the first time is just making sure that you play with the right ball. Obviously the pros play with a double yellow dot, and that's a really slow ball because of how hard we can hit it and how well we can retrieve it. And sometimes I see beginners playing with that ball, and I think it's really demoralizing because it's not going to bounce unless you get some long rallies going. So just get yourself a ball that's one of the slightly bigger, slightly bouncier balls, and then start with that, and as you improve, move down to the yellow dot and then double yellow dot.